From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his next message in a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each study is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, Dr. Cairns begins to examine the Gospel of John. Throughout this book, John emphasizes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much of John's material is unique to his gospel. It contains events and expressions that are not found in the other three gospels. In the course of this study, we'll see why this particular gospel has been used of God to bring many souls to a saving knowledge of Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence this study under the title, The Glory of God Incarnate. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Despise Not Thy Youth. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Jeremiah was young and felt a natural shrinking when sent upon a great errand by the Lord. But he who sent him would not have him say, I am a child. What he was in himself must not be mentioned, but lost in the consideration that he was chosen to speak for God. He had not to think out and invent a message, nor to choose an audience. He was to speak what God commanded and speak where God sent him, and this he would be enabled to do in strength not his own. Is it not so with some young preacher or teacher who may hear these lines? God knows how young you are and how slender are your knowledge and experience, but if he chooses to send you, it is not for you to shrink from the heavenly call. God will magnify himself in your feebleness. If you were as old as Methuselah, how much would your years help you? If you were wise as Solomon, you might be equally as willful as he. Keep you to your message, and it will be your wisdom. Follow your marching orders, and they will be your discretion.
Word. ashamed with boldness pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great word, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above. Press toward the mark, straight toward the goal, press onward and forward, both body and soul, for the heavenly prize, for the look in his eyes, and for the crown that will not fade away. Forget things behind, reach farther ahead, oh, follow the Savior's example instead. Now don't gain as but loss, and no loss as but gain to know him.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folks who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcasts. LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak International, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you've wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Briefly stated, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church by emailing info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, to see if there might be a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
come this morning to the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and we're going to read the opening verses together, John chapter 1. It's one of the most sublime passages in all the Word of God, the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these very familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are usually called the Synoptic Gospels because they give a synopsis of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ from the same general viewpoint. The word synoptic, really at its most literal level, means with the same vision or the same eyes. So that while Matthew, Mark, and Luke each has his peculiar theme, as we have noted over the past weeks, they all combine to present Christ's humanity. They're declaring his general offices and work as a man and our Savior. Though, of course, in each one of them there is some very distinct teaching on the deity of Christ as well. However, the great emphasis is upon Christ our Savior in the offices and work that he carried through as a man. The Gospel of John, however, is altogether different. From the very first words, it's obvious that this Gospel is approaching the whole subject of Christ and his ministry from a very different standpoint. In the Synoptics, the emphasis is upon the true humanity of the Savior. In John, the emphasis is upon the true deity of the Savior. Thus, for example, in Matthew's Gospel, you find that there is a genealogy that goes right back to Abraham. That's in keeping with the overall theme of the Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, there is a genealogy of Christ that goes right back to Adam. And that's, in general, keeping with the theme of that Gospel. But in John, The apostle here dispenses with genealogies altogether, and he goes right back into eternity, and he starts off with the eternal union and communion of the Son with the Father before all time. In the beginning, you can't go further back than that. In the beginning was the Word. There are various expressions in the Bible, the original scriptures, that somehow or other come to be translated by the English verb to be. Sometimes the verb to be in English means to become in the original language. We find this later in this very chapter. But this is certainly not true of Christ. He did not become the Word. He later became or was made flesh. But he did not become the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And in that very first verse, you have the tenor and the theme of the entire Gospel of John clearly set forth. And as you read through this Gospel, you'll find that every feature of it combines to make this emphasis even clearer. For example, let me point this out to you, that if you read the first three Gospels, you'll find that with all their unique features, yet they have so much in common. That has led to a tremendous lot of supposedly learned but mostly stupid writing and talking about the so-called synoptic problem. The problem is between the ears of the writer and not in the book. I would to God that men would understand that. I quoted Dean John Bergen the other Lord's Day here. Bergen had a very simple philosophy as one of the great Bible scholars of his or any age. He had a simple philosophy. The Bible is always right. And if there's a problem, the problem is because I'm incapable of understanding. I might be stupid, I might be wrong, but the Bible's never wrong. I like that approach. And I think that we would do well to imbibe the spirit of Bergen. They talk about the synoptic problem. As I say, the first three Gospels have a great body of events and sayings of Christ in common. When you come to John's Gospel, it's interesting that there are only seven incidents that it has in common with the other three Gospels. The work of John the Baptist, the feeding of the 5,000, Christ walking on the water, the anointing of Christ at Bethany, the Last Supper, the Passion of Christ, and the Resurrection of Christ. And outside of those things, everything else in the Gospel of John is unique. There's nothing corresponding with it in the other Gospels. You'll not find in Matthew's Gospel, for instance, anything, or in Mark or Luke, anything like the interview with Nicodemus. You'll not find anything like Christ's great self-revelation to the woman at the well of Sychar when he said, "I that speak unto thee am he." You'll not find anything like the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, or the great discourse in chapter 6 on the bread of life, or the great statements in chapter 7 on the last great day of the feast, "If any man thirst," or the great statement, "I am the light of the world," or the giving of sight to the man blind, as in chapter 9 of John. There are other blind men healed, but that one is unique to John. So there's so much in John that's absolutely unique. Then add to that, there's a whole list of words, very important words, that are either unique to John, or if they're not totally unique to him, are used in John more often than all the others put together. These are important words. The word "believe," for instance, you find heavily used in John. The expression "the Father" is more in John than all the rest put together. The "verily, verilies" of Christ are only found in John. The verb "to know" is especially used in John. Love, life, light, truth, abide, All these are words that John uses with peculiar emphasis. And when you take all these peculiarities, what the Holy Spirit is doing in this book is declaring to us that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Now we have got to understand that. Everything in this book is meant to lead us to that conclusion. These are written, chapter 20, verse 31 says, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the purpose of this book, that you might believe that he is the Christ, that he's the Son of God and God the Son, and that believing in him, you should have eternal life. That's the whole purpose why this book is written. It's a very good reason, by the way, in your witnessing, why it's encouraging and also very productive to present this book to unbelievers. When I deal with people who say that they are sincere doubters, they just don't know, I always give them John's Gospel. Well, will you read it? This is written that you might know. I remember talking to a fellow and he said, I don't even know if God is. I said, well, are you willing to find out? Oh, yes, I'm willing to find out. Are you sure you're willing to find out? I'm willing to find out. Okay, will you pray the prayer that R.A. Torrey used to challenge the agnostics of his day with? Take John's Gospel, open it up, and pray, O God, if there is any God, if Jesus Christ is your Son, and this is your Word, reveal yourself to me, and I promise I will acknowledge you, receive you, and follow Christ as my Lord and Savior. John 7 and 17, if any man wants to know the doctrine, then he will know it. This is written in order that you might believe. That fellow was proved to be just a trifler, a liar really, hiding his sinful life behind a vain philosophy. He no more wanted to know the truth. Every time I met him, I used to say, George, have you started reading John's Gospel yet? No, I haven't got around to it. Next time, George, have you read John's Gospel? Have you asked the Lord if he's there to show you Christ? No. I said, George, you know, you're just a fool and you're just a trifler. You are not interested. You know the truth of Jesus Christ as well as I know it. And you're afraid to face up to it. This is written that you might believe.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.